Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Well, Mary Joe, I feel like Big Blue Nation is probably as gloomy as the weather outside this morning.
I was trying to think of a more just heartbreaking regular season loss.
Yeah, I would have to go back and kind of search the memory there for that one.
Because
it was just so... Ugh.
And I was thinking about it. I think literally if it had been any other player...
Yeah, right.
I mean, so that's Isaac Humphrey's best day in blue from start to finish. So SportsCenter does a thing on him.
Yeah.
He has 12 rebounds, 6. He's played his guts out.
He just
then,
made the play.
Then he makes the play.
Yeah.
It's just, I couldn't have felt worse. And then you just kept lip reading the, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.
You feel for him.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he tweeted out after the game, I will learn from this, BBN. You know, Ulis described it as he was excited and then went to slam the ball but tried to stop himself. And you saw, like a second after the ball released from his hand, he's like, oh. Ulis reaches over to the ref. Nah, man, nah. Come on. It's cool, man. It's cool. Ref, bang.
I know.
Nails him. And there's a huge, you know, debate over that.
The reason you say swallow your whistle is because it can be called there.
Right.
I mean, and I get it. Like, that's a technical foul a lot of times. It truly is. And it's unfortunate. But it's never that I don't think a technical is just where is only given where malice is the intent.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't spike a football in football because it's too much celebration. So, I don't think he should have called it there. And obviously we're on the losing side of that this morning. So we're all going to think they should have called it. And everyone in College Station is going to think it was an obvious technical and you had to have called it.
Right.
But their coach got teed up for something. We know, we don't know what he said, but it had to be something crazy that came out of his mouth for him to get teed up the way he did.
Yeah, he didn't even fully leave the huddle, Billy Kennedy.
No.
He didn't even, like, break the huddle and walk out onto the floor. He just said something. Whatever he said, Rabbit Ears picked it up and popped him one.
Even Jay Billis said he's maybe the most mild-mannered coach around.
Yeah, right.
So the antenna were up, and... It's clear. They didn't even have to explain it after the game, although they kept, you know, Cal kept saying it and everybody kept saying it. There was no ill intent. You could see that. I mean,
right.
Obviously there was no ill intent. He was just excited. And this has been, to this point, his greatest day as a Kentucky player.
I mean, I hate it, but I can see the argument both ways. Because, you know, a couple games ago, Isaiah Briscoe slams the ball and gets a technical.
Mm-hmm.
That was after Jamal Murray dunk and won. So that was...
That was celebratory.
In celebration, and he gets the technical, but slamming the ball on the floor, spiking the ball, is a technical. That's it.
It is.
And
it
you
is.
And if you're an official, you probably say, I call that every time, anywhere it happens, no matter what. There's no judgment here. I didn't decide, well, in this given situation, probably should let this one go.
You know,
but
and there's another,
can,
yeah.
But I can see that you do let it go. You can look the other way. You don't have to hear something. You don't have to see something. I think there is something to that. And a lot of national media.
Including Seth Greenberg,
mm-hmm.
who tweeted out that he had talked to several officials.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all seemed to be in agreement that you let that one go.
Right. And Jake Bell, head of officiating for the SEC, who, by the way, lives here in Lexington, will review it, apparently, or was asked if he had seen it, and he said, no, I will. That was tweeted out by Jeff Goodman. And Jeff Goodman, who, you know, allegedly hates Kentucky,
mm-hmm.
saw it as being, that's a tough deal that shouldn't. Maybe that's a situation where you don't blow the whistle.
And honestly, because now that pretty much decides the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you swallow the whistle, Texas A&M still has 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, even if Isaac hits both free throws,
right,
they can still tie the game.
Yeah.
And they've got time to do so.
Right.
So it wasn't like they wouldn't have had another shot at it. But I think that just changed everything. And then Isaac's fifth foul, so now we got to bring Scal in to shoot the free throw. And
right. Yeah, even if, you know, I mean, Isaac could have missed both.
He could have.
I mean, that could have happened, too. Had Marcus Lee just hit his front end of the 1-1, we would not even be having this conversation.
Or honestly, if we didn't have a stretch of 6 minutes where every shot we took was an Isaiah Briscoe long 2-point jump shot.
Yeah.
I was just going out of my mind.
Well, it was clear that Kentucky was just trying to survive there, you know, towards the end. With fouls piling up, injury, just let's just keep this close. Don't give them quick possessions because they're killing us on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Rebounding everything. We're hurting. Let's take a shot with like a second left on the shot clock.
Yeah.
And milk this thing out and get it to where it's a one possession game in the final seconds, which is what they did.
The rebounding killed them. And then the worst thing may have been Derek Willis.
Yeah, that was bad. 381-1313 if you want to get in here and talk about it on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. What's your take on the technical? And now Derek Willis, no way he plays on Tuesday. Just no chance, I don't think. Because Calipari said afterward, pretty bad is how he described the sprain. And when you saw it, it looked pretty bad. I mean, his ankle was almost flush with the floor there. And he was already complaining of his ankle hurting. So
he didn't put any weight on it going back to the locker room.
And, you know, a sprain is what we heard. It could be worse. You know, there could be torn ligaments. We didn't hear if he got an x-ray, was going to get an x-ray, and then swelling has to subside before you can see anything sometimes as far as ligaments go. So you hope that it's nothing worse than a sprain.
He looked like he was in a significant amount of pain.
Yes. But did you notice who was carrying him off the floor, helping him off? Alex Poitras.
Yeah.
So of all the people.
He's like, I feel you, bro.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a bum knee. You just twisted your ankle. That's whose shoulder? What, Michael Mulder, you're not available? I mean, Ty Winyard? Haven't got off the bench all season. Here's your chance. Willis needs your help. Alex is like, nah, me and my knee that's got me sitting out this game. We'll help, you know, carry you out.
But
of here.
That shot alone, Alex Poitras walking Derek Willis off, I mean, that could be a season-defining picture right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The injuries have definitely mounted. Jay is on the line. Jay, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
Good morning. How are you folks doing?
We're good. Good morning, Jay.
What's going on, man?
You know, it's hard to be upset with Humphreys for the fact that the game he played.
Yeah.
If he hadn't played like he did, it wouldn't even been close.
Exactly.
No.
It seemed like he was the only one that really hit the boards hard every time. I mean, he really showed a lot of guts in that game. So, I mean, you know, it was just a freshman mistake. But you know what? He really laid it all out there, I felt like. So.
Yeah, without his effort, I don't know where Kentucky is in that game because you crushed on the boards. 15 offensive rebounds in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got 12 points off of that.
That's how they won the game.
Yeah.
Another offensive rebound. Yeah, I don't think anybody's upset.
With Humphreys.
With Humphreys.
Mm-mm.
You know, and you know what? Like I said, if the front line does not get their act together and start playing harder, every team we face when we get in the tournament is just going to go at our big men.
Yeah, when you have, you know, Marcus Lee just cannot stay out of foul trouble when he's out there. If he can't stay out of foul trouble, then you've got to count on Scal or Isaac. And Isaac has shown he can do it, but But can he do it consistently? We don't know that yet. That's unproven. Scal, obviously, I mean, right at the end of the game, Scal had a chance. He had position on the rebound.
And then that tripped Tyler over Davis. His own feet.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler Davis.
Jamal Murray was in a bad position.
Murray was, but Scal had position on Davis. And when the ball is up, Scal watches and then falls over as Davis jumps up and grabs it and puts it back in. And that's right. Where the fight comes from, I think, that Calipari and the staff is looking for, is he's, for whatever reason, something is not going through his head as of how to react in situations where they need him to fight. I don't know why, but sometimes maybe it just takes a little while to get that.
But, you know, I don't know. There were some weird calls. They'd call things on one end and not on the other. It wasn't a consistently called game.
Listen, I thought there were some bad calls for Texas A&M too. It wasn't
no,
just us. There was bad.
That's what I said.
Yeah, there were bad
both
refs.
Both ends there were bad calls. Yeah, both ends.
And you could see it in Cal's face because every time there was one of those calls, he would start clapping and smiling like, "Yep, yeah, another one, guys. Good job."
Yep, I'm not getting thrown out today though. Yeah, here's an interesting fact, by the way.
And thank you, Jay, so much. We appreciate the call this morning.
Yes, thank you.
Thank y'all. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. You too. You know, the last 10 games in a row now, or I guess 11 straight games, UK has shot fewer free throws than their opponent. Never happened before. Big Blue History, if you follow him on Twitter, mm-hmm. @BigBlue, never has happened before. Most was 9 straight games where UK shot fewer free throws than its opponent. And that happened twice, 1971-72 season and 42-43. So we're talking, I mean, before I was born is the last time they've had this many games in a row where they've shot less free throws than the opponent.
It's because we're in love with the three, which has been fine because it's been good to us the last few games. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody inside. There's just nobody inside.
Right.
Offensively.
That was a problem. Yeah, I don't want to make this all about railing on the referees the whole show because I don't feel like that's what ultimately lost the game, even the technical at the end. Mm-hmm. Isaac Humphrey still has to make 2 tough free throws in a situation he's never been in before.
And there's still 10 seconds left.
Yes. He's never been to the free throw line with 10 seconds to go, needs to make them to make it a 3-point game. On the road, on national television, you know.
Marcus Lee's got to hit his free throw.
Right. So there were many things that could have happened that led to Kentucky winning that game. I tend to take the view of Eric Crawford from WDRB wrote a good article saying you could just write this one off. Write it off. It was going to be difficult enough to win there at Texas A&M anyway. And Kentucky, being in the situation they were in, good for them.
The worst part for me, I think, is now, had they won that game with the way that other things kind of shook out, played out yesterday with LSU just getting whipped at Tennessee, they would have had to really screw up to not win the SEC. Because Kentucky would have had a 2-game lead and the tiebreakers.
Right.
Over the other schools that were 2 games behind.
Yeah.
So they would have all but locked up pretty much the SEC. Now they can still win it and they're still, you know, alone in sole possession of first place. But things got tighter.
Yeah, and
A&M will have the head-to-head now.
And for everyone's sake, it would just be nice to play on Friday at 1, Saturday at 1, and Sunday at 1.
I know.
Because that would be how it goes if Kentucky wins the SEC. That would be the 3 tournament games, Friday at 1, Saturday at 1, Sunday at 1. Let's take a break. 381-1313 is the number to call to get in here. We'll talk plenty more about this loss to Texas A&M here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
It's the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event going on now at MLS Power Sports, and you have choices. Get a new 2015 Wildcat as low as $189 a month for 60 months, or receive a rebate up to $1,100 depending on model. Or how about a factory warranty for up to 4 years? The fun is up to you during the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Stop in today and don't miss the best deals on the entire lineup of Articats, ATVs, and side-by-sides.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt and ROVs. Approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a valid driver's license and all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Articat, share our passion.
Ride victoriously.
First of all, ride victoriously.
Automobile accident, Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The American Red Cross is looking for volunteers with flexible schedules to be part of the Red Cross Disaster Action Team, responding to single and multifamily home fires in and around Fayette County to assist families with shelter, support, and access to basic needs immediately following a home fire. Orientation for new volunteers scheduled for the Lexington offices at 1450 Newtown Pike, Thursday, February 25th, 6 to 7 p.m. Apply online at redcross.org/volunteer or call Rich DeAngelis at 859-497-6420.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Where'd you get this one, Josh?
Pop a top again.
Huh? Yeah. So we requested, just so you know how this all happened. Like, hey, Josh, play something, you know, I'm sorry, we're sorry. He's like, okay, we got sorry Rihanna, sorry.
Rick Ross,
sorry. And Mary Jo's like, you remember the song? I'm sorry, so sorry. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll see what I can do. This.
Pop a top again.
Yeah. Alan Jackson, pop a top. I don't know.
Way your brain gets from here to there sometimes. The detours are plentiful.
He's drinking a mix of Mountain Dew and Dr. K. And that has to be dangerous. Which, by the way, you know, today is the Daytona 500.
Yes.
Dale Jr., I love Dale Jr. He is my favorite driver, no doubt. But you've seen some of his, you know, spots or commercials where, you know, he drives for Mountain Dew, and they'll, like, be doing the duck call, and guys are hunting, and here comes his, you know, race car out of the woods and all this. So Mountain Dew NASCAR, Dale Jr.
Yeah.
It screams Dale Jr. Did you hear about these kids? It's been a few weeks, maybe a month or so. In Tennessee, who drank a mixture of racing fuel and Mountain Dew. Ugh. Like several kids. A couple of them died. Others were, you know, deathly ill. Drinking a mixture of Mountain Dew and racing fuel. First of all, where are they getting the racing fuel? You can't just go to Speedway and get racing fuel, like super high octane. Unless they consider 93 octane, but that's Racing fuel is a lot higher octane than that.
Are we giving Mountain Dew a bad name here? Like, it's surely they died from drinking the racing fuel, right? I've had plenty of Mountain Dew.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It has nothing. No, my point was that that's all Dale Jr.'s fault.
Okay.
I mean, his commercials for Mountain Dew and his name and who he is the only thing I can think of that would inspire anyone to drink Mountain Dew and racing fuel together. Dude, we drink this, we become Dale Jr.
I mean,
that's all I can figure. I mean, I don't know how else.
Yeah.
That's
a bummer.
We're going to talk horse racing later. And Steve Moody, you know, he has the handicapping sheet that you see everywhere. And he just sent something in on Twitter. Remember the Louisville male cheerleader giving the technical foul?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And Rick Pitino.
Well, gosh, Louisville won yesterday because Duke completely melted down and got teed up. And that was Grayson Allen's last, you know, he had 48 points by the 10-minute mark in the first half. I mean, his last foul is a technical.
Mm-hmm.
Coach K gets teed up.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed the tide of the whole thing.
But, you know, I didn't have a problem with the elbow to Grayson Allen's chin. I mean, what's wrong with that? Who doesn't want to do that? But I was so... it doesn't matter whether the technical is by the book correct and you can't argue it, whatever. It doesn't matter that it was the right call or the wrong call. It's just the way that game ended for Isaac Humphreys.
I know.
That made you so, ugh.
And it's also is one thing, and I know we don't need to just bash the refs constantly, but if they were calling everything by the letter of the law.
Right, yeah.
It'd be one thing. Mm-hmm. And it'd be more acceptable. But yeah, what a great game. And hopefully, what's John Rothstein from CBS tweeted,
mm-hmm.
In a few weeks, Kentucky fans won't remember the technical. They'll remember the 12 rebounds he had and saw that as a turning point. So, hopefully.
Yeah. Because
they are 100% going to need Isaac Humphreys in every game from here on out. Because Scal is who he is. And now if we've got Derek Willis and Alex Poitras hurt and Marcus Lee continues to get into foul trouble or suffers from back issues down the road a little bit.
Right.
I mean, they're going to need him.
I wonder how long it's going to be before Jay Billis gets a technical. I mean, they can just run by and overhear him trashing them.
It was constant last night.
I mean, I was surprised that even when the referee came over to explain to Billis who was going to shoot the free throws and all that, that Billis just didn't go, you know, that's Little League, right? Yeah, Little League. I mean, he just...
Because he said that.
Yeah. He just absolutely... does not let up on the referees to the point where it's noticeable and annoying, really.
It's why people, I think, love Jay Billis, though, because that's a fan thing to do, is really rail on the refs.
Right.
And he did it last night. I mean, he was start to finish. No offensive foul called here tonight. It's truly an offensive foul. They're all blocking blocking calls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did not let up.
Well, again, it was just unfortunate for Isaac Humphreys. We want to hear what you probably may have heard this, John Calipari, what he said afterward. Of course, he was not upset with Isaac, really. I mean, but this is what Calipari said.
I was fine. He was celebrating. He was so happy. There was no disrespect to anybody. There was nothing. So if that's what they choose to call, then what are you going to do? You can be mad or whatever, but I'm not mad at that kid. Are you kidding me? Great kid.
And then John Robick, I don't know, for whatever reason, he subbed after the first segment on the radio with Tom Leach, you know, the post-game comments. So Calipari did the first segment with Tom Leach, and then they come back, and it's like, John had to go. Here's John Robick. For whatever reason. But Robick you could tell was, ugh, that was a tough one to swallow. Yeah. That was very difficult. Just the emotion of, all right, we got this. I just made a huge play. This is it. I almost feel like had his teammates, Isaac Humphrey's teammates, not come up to him right after he made the play, he maybe doesn't even do anything.
Then gang tackle him. I mean, everyone was jubilant.
That excitement around him got him, you know, to do a little bit extra. But Robic also said something else that I noticed that he said was that this is a tight locker room. They'll all be fine. And, you know, reportedly Isaac Humphries was saying, Tyler Ulis said he was back there saying sorry over and over again to everybody in the locker room. And Ulis was like, stop saying you're sorry. It's not your fault. We're not even in this position without your contribution. So it
and all the players that came out last night said Isaac played his tail off.
I tell you who else played their tail off was Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm. And Tyler Ulis.
Yeah, well, of course, Tyler Ulis, yes.
He played 45 minutes last night.
They are Kentucky basketball.
Yeah.
Willis, we'll get on to Willis in a moment, but that Alex Caruso just chased Murray all night long. But to Murray's credit, he never stopped, though.
Jay Billis, he's logged a bunch of miles tonight, yeah. And he had.
Well, he said he should put a 13.5 sticker on his for running a half marathon.
He didn't quit.
No, he didn't quit. And some of those shots he made. And so this is how close he is now. 5 threes away from breaking the record at Kentucky for most threes by a freshman. Only 5 away. Still got 4 games left to play.
Who has that record?
Most threes for a freshman?
I don't know. I keep wanting to think
look that up.
Jody, but that was probably... his freshman junior year.
Yeah. But it's Murray's also his 27th consecutive game with a three. Now that, I can tell you, ties Travis Ford and Rex Chapman for second longest streak. And you know who has the most.
And that's not just by a freshman. That's just...
by anyone.
A player.
Yeah. Tony Delk, 32 in a row with a three. So Murray, 27 games in a row with a three. And...
he could get that 32.
Yeah. Get to 32.
I think he will. I can't see him at this point going an entire game without making a three.
Mm-mm. No. And once again, Kentucky hits, we talked about this yesterday, 10 threes in a game. Never happened before. UK has never made 10 threes in 5 straight games. First time ever.
Have they ever made 10 threes and lost? I mean, I know we can't probably just look that up, but... that's a lot of threes to make and not win a game.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And this could be, we talk about the lack of depth and production inside, this could be the best three-point shooting team in the history of Kentucky basketball, and that's what will carry them.
I mean, they shot 50% from three again yesterday.
And, of course, we can't speak to the pre-three-point line era and how many shooters Kentucky would have had on some of those other great teams. But as far as the three-point line being there and three-pointers being a thing, maybe the best Kentucky's ever had, and they're going to need it. They're going to need Derek Willis.
Kentucky had 6 offensive rebounds to Texas A&M's 20.
And Kentucky has been a good offensive rebounding team all season, despite the problems inside. So we'll see how and Willis was a big part of that, his emergence as a rebounder. We'll talk more about Derek Willis, his injury. And also coming up at the top of the hour, Kyle Tucker was there for it all, talked to the players from the Louisville Courier-Journal. So he'll give us a firsthand report of what it was like down there in College Station yesterday. And he'll do that at 10 o'clock. We'll be back here with more. 381-1313 if you want to get in here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. They were just
broken promises. The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. This is Central Kentucky's home for sports.
Magic and make it mine.
Awesome. Listen to your radio signals.
Okay.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Icky, gross.
There they are. There they are.
At Truly Nolan Pest Control, we know how you feel.
Is it crawling on me?
Pests have no place in your home.
It's not. But I think it is. Ooh, how disgusting. How dirty.
Insects and rodents are dirty. They can spread germs, even disease, throughout your household and to everyone that lives there.
Honey, we gotta move.
At Truly Nolan Pest Control, we're local. And we're owned and operated by an experienced PhD entomologist. We understand these pests and the way they behave. We also know how to get rid of them so they won't come back.
I don't know how they do it. They gotta deal with those icky bugs all day.
Take your first step to a pest-free home now. Visit TrulyNolan.com, then call us at 859-277-0716, 277-0716. We do a complete inspection of your home, then develop a customized solution to get rid of those unwelcome pests and make sure they don't come back. Get truly protected with Truly Nolan. We don't rest till you're rid of the last pest.
Come experience one of Lexington's hottest spots, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Located in the heart of Chevy Chase, you can enjoy their lighter fare menus such as Tulip Tacos or their decadent gourmet cheeseburgers, voted one of Lexington's best. For a more formal dining experience, enjoy the Tulip's delicious entrees like seared red snapper cassoulet, or treat yourself to the best short ribs you'll ever eat. And don't forget to try one of their great steaks. You'll also find fresh oysters and other sophisticated creations by Chef Spencer. Come enjoy their great wine list and outstanding service. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is now open Monday, so you can dine with them Monday through Saturday for dinner. Go to their website, thetulipbistroandbar.com, and make a reservation. Or call them at 859-367-6687. That's 859-367-6687. The Tulip, 335 Romney Road, in the heart of Chevy Chase. Let the Tulip Bistro and Bar be your next great dining experience.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's perfect. Allison, wait. Are you texting and driving? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Aggies ball. Shot clock turned off. They've got a timeout. Doesn't look like they're going to use it. Collins had it knocked away. Humphreys has it and a foul.
Well, the second time late that Collins took the ball into traffic. Humphreys just threw the ball down. And are they teeing him up for that? They can't be.
They did.
They teed him up
they
for that.
They teed up Humphreys.
Wow. We have officially gone into Little League.
And it's his fifth. Technical counts as a personal.
He spiked the ball after, but it's after they made the play. So he wasn't doing it in anger. He was happy. I mean, that's just, look, I get it, but come on.
That's me. I get it, yeah. But come on.
Yes.
I get it that when you spike the ball, it's a technical. But I also get that you could blink at that moment and miss. What happened with the ball? Yeah. Why is it bouncing now? I thought he had it.
And you wonder if, too, because like they knew the Kentucky players and Isaac Humphreys had to have known that, too, because immediately once he spiked the ball, they're, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look, you know, Tyler looks at the ref, says, now, come on, don't do it. So they knew you can get teed up for that.
Right.
It wasn't a surprise to them that that could be something that happened. And I wonder if they hadn't drawn so much attention to it and said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, take it back.
Yeah.
Didn't mean it.
Right.
But again, however, they're both just reactions that you can't
however,
control.
The referee at that point, before he spikes it, is kind of he's drawn to that area anyway because of their huddle and their excitement. Yeah. He's already kind of going, you know, hold it down, guys. Hold it down. So he's already drawn to it in the first place, just the excitement. But you can't argue intent. I mean, there's no argument to be had there because that's spiking the ball. It doesn't matter who does it and for what reason has nothing to do with it. It's the act itself that is a foul. I think the argument should be is whether or not the official feels like he has the power to miss the call. You know what I mean? Because you could.
Right. And honestly, with 6 minutes to go in the game, if that happens and he makes a big play, I would say every time, tee him up. But making that call 100% inserts yourself as the decision maker of the game. I'm deciding the outcome of this game.
Yeah, that's
pretty much.
Yeah.
And I know there were still 10 seconds, and other things had to have happened. And Kentucky still could have won the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's inserting himself, the ref, in that situation, saying, I'm going to decide how this one goes down.
So I just got a tweet that said, good kid that made a mistake. And the referee, and then in all caps, just did his job.
Yeah.
Which he did. But I'm saying he could have chosen not to do his job as well at that moment. And it has happened and can happen. And Seth Greenberg reported that he spoke to officials who say that can happen and does happen and it's okay. It's not like he's going to go in front of Jake Bell, the head of officials for the SEC, and him not make that call and Jake go, you should have called a technical right there. You know, we're marking you down right here.
I honestly don't think Billy Kennedy would have gotten all worked up if a technical had not been called there. I really don't, you know.
Of course, he was, you know, afterwards he said, yeah, that's technical every time. Spike the ball, can't do it.
And it is. Yeah. It is a technical foul.
Yeah.
It is. That's why Isaac immediately said, I'm sorry. That's why Tyler tried to shake off the ref, because mm-hmm. they know it's a technical foul every time. And like you said, Isaiah had just been called for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the game before, two games before, something like that?
At South Carolina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a moment of celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that one was not where it was deciding the game. So.
Right. So it's not intent.
Yeah.
Let's get to the phone lines. George is on the line. Good morning, George. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Good morning. How are you all this morning?
Just fine.
Trying to make it.
Yeah.
I almost kind of looked at it because, you know, they replayed it like 25 times.
Right.
And Humphrey said, you know, said an explicit word, you know, can't say off air. No, I looked at his lip.
Yeah.
But did it kind of look like it slipped out of his hand?
Yes, I think it did. Tyler Ulis explained it that way.
That's what I thought. I said, man, it looked like he just went to, you know, do his hands, and it looked like the ball slipped because immediately he was like, oh, you know,
yeah.
Oh. You know,
yeah, the ball slipped. I didn't mean to do that.
And I kind of think it's judgment, you know, because they're trying to police the game so much now, you know, because they think someone's going to start a fight or inciting the rats and all that crap. But, and, you know, let them have fun.
Yeah, I think, but it's also a slippery slope. I mean, I don't think you can allow a spike in one situation and not a spike in another.
But you
can miss a call.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not like they hadn't missed calls all night long.
Yeah.
Well,
already.
Can't you give a warning?
Yeah.
What happened to warnings? They don't even do warnings anymore.
Yeah, Cal sure didn't get a warning a couple games back.
I think they would tell you your warning is your first technical.
Yeah.
And the second time you do it, you're
gone. You're run, yeah.
Okay. I'm still proud of the guys. They're still showing heart. They're not quitting. How bad is Willis's ankle? Have they said?
I mean, just Calipari said it's pretty bad. Which for Calipari to say that much, I think means it's pretty bad. I mean, for him to, he could have just said, "Don't know. We'll have to see."
Yeah.
But no, he said pretty bad, which means it's the size of a grapefruit right now.
Oh, okay. So
I'm sure. Yeah,
he's done till tournament time.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I think I brought it up earlier.
I wouldn't see him playing.
If you've ever sprained your ankle, and if that's all it is, if you've ever sprained your ankle, you know that it can take a couple weeks.
Oh yeah, I know.
To get better, but he has the benefit of UK's medical staff, which can probably expedite the healing of the ankle. But I think the concern is it more than just a sprained ankle? Is it, you know, any torn ligaments down there? Then it's really serious. But without Derek Willis, that is a completely different team. Willis is what changed the team. He is what made this team be able to do what it's doing. You go back to the Auburn game. That's where it started. And it's
Who we got Tuesday?
Alabama.
Arkansas, or Alabama. Alabama.
And look, Alabama has been hot. I know. You know, of course, now last night they lost to Mississippi State in Tuscaloosa. So that's a little bit ridiculous. But Alabama has beaten four ranked teams and one on the road.
Avery's got them playing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, first year.
They're going to come into, let me tell you, they're going to be excited about being in Rupp Arena. You can bet that. And without Willis, and maybe if Poitras still isn't back.
Well, we will overcome.
it doesn't.
That's the spirit.
I mean, it doesn't change anything that Kentucky could do, was going to do. I don't think it affects that all that much.
A lot more zone.
But I think winning yesterday would have helped solidify seeding. Definitely locked up the SEC pretty much, and so it's a bummer.
Come down to LSU's the last game of season, right?
Yes.
Joe Lunardi this morning has LSU out of the tournament.
What?
They're out.
They're 16-11. I mean, they're only 500.
I mean,
if Kentucky was 16-11, they wouldn't be in the tournament. You know?
I know that.
The only reason they would be in is because you don't want to keep you. Because TV people want Ben Simmons in the game.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's apparently, not going to class or something now because he didn't start last night for academic reasons.
He did not start last night's game. And, yes, academic reasons. So
I'm sure Bob Knight will come out at any point and really knock LSU for getting those players not going to class who are just one and done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold my breath on that one.
Well, maybe he can get Dan Dockich to say it for him.
Okay, well, y'all be careful going home and enjoy the rain.
Thanks,
George. There's a Daytona 500 on to watch or listen to I know it's on an LM communication station. I do not know. Is it on 1300, Josh? Do you have any idea?
I think we have this afternoon. I think we've got the Cavs Thunder game.
See, this is what happens. Mary Jo and I work regular jobs during the week, and then we come in here on the weekend. And
Sunday, 2:30, Cleveland at OKC.
Okay. So that's what we have on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Maybe 92.1 or maybe Hank or 92.1. 92.1 or 96.1. Program director, if you're listening, you could give us a shout here and let us know. But what I was saying, we come in on the weekends, and sometimes there's no communication. We show up and... But I know that the Daytona 500 is on our air because Neil Jackson came in and said, I'm working Daytona tomorrow. So that is coming up. All right, let's get back to the phones. Jason is on the line. Good morning, Jason. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
We're good, Jason. We're good.
Gloomy.
Well, this is obviously a day that you wish that Facebook didn't exist because you have so many experts out there. And you have the guy that says, and this ticked me off to no extent, where he's like, you know, this is Coach Cal's fault. These guys show this masculine posing in practice. And Humphries did this out of habit. And I'm like, if it hadn't been for his 13 rebounds, we weren't in that game to begin with, and we hadn't have to worry about a last-second shot.
He hasn't played enough to develop a habit of doing anything.
Right.
Exactly. I'm like, he gets like three minutes a game at that. I'm like, the guy is just excited to be in the game, much less anything else. I said, you can't say that it's a posing thing he does in practice every day.
So. No. And Calipari wants the energy and emotion from him. And if a little bit too much emotion spills out, well, it's just a learning experience for a guy like Humphries. It's just something you have to live with. It kills me in football, too. You ask these guys to basically kill each other, and then when they do, you go, can't do that. Well, what do you want me to do? I'm playing on emotion and edge. That's what helped me get 12 rebounds and fight. You have to have something inside you, an emotion that drives you, and you can't just flip it off real quick. It's difficult. It's a tightrope to walk.
Exactly, and I mean, I agree with you as the fact that he did let that ball slip, and you could see it on his face. He was like, you know, oh, crap, you know. It would have been so great to beat them last night, because I'm sure you guys saw the newspapers they were holding up before the game, and you can probably put to words what the TB BTHO Kentucky was. So.
Right, yeah. It wasn't a new Toyota model that they were coming out with.
I appreciate you guys taking my call. You guys have a great day.
Hey, all right, you too.
Thanks, Jason. You can get in here, 381-1313, and we'll take more of your calls after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Why did we call our new checking account the Republic Bank Easy Checking Account? That's an easy one. You never have to keep a minimum balance or pay a monthly fee. You also get free bill pay and free mobile and online banking. We told you this was easy. Get the Republic Easy Checking Account today. Visit RepublicBank.com or your nearest Republic Banking Center. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, guys, would you like to feel like you're 25 again? I would, and I can at Body Shapes MD. Hi, everybody. This is Chris Cross from my good friends Ted and Lisa Ennenbach right there at Body Shapes MD. I'm going to give you a phone number. I want you to take it down, put it on your refrigerator. Do not lose it. 410-6100, 410-6100. It's a total body approach. We want you at your best inside and out. Whatever your goals are, if you just want to get rid of a beer belly, if you want to chase the kids around, the grandkids, the teenage kids, all you have to do is apply yourself at Body Shape MD. I want you to become a member right now. If you've got any of these problems, and believe me, there's many more that I'm telling you, declining memory, muscle soreness. Here's one of the big ones. How about a loss of your libido? How about not being able to satisfy the lady? You say, Chris Cross, I can't do anything about that. Yes, you can. Just go to the website, bodyshapesmd.com. Bodyshapesmd.com. 410-6100, Body Shapes MD.
I'm Julie Bowen, and I'm here to tell you it's impossible to beat cancer alone. It takes researchers, doctors, donors. It takes community. It takes love and support and collaboration and persistence and resolve. It takes people like me and you. That's why Stand Up to Cancer and all our supporters are asking for your help. Let's beat cancer together. Join the movement now at standuptocancer.org.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
The NFL, the NBA, NCAA football and basketball, Major League Baseball, and the PGA. We are Central Kentucky's leader for sports. ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know, some folks land different places on the technical foul on Isaac Humphries. Most Kentucky fans land on shouldn't be a technical. But, I mean, we could discuss politics instead if you guys would rather argue about that. I did see something crazy last night that was so funny. I didn't know this existed. Have you ever heard of ghost voting by state legislators?
No.
It's the craziest thing. So apparently in Wisconsin and Tennessee and Texas, they've been shown on tape, like news stations did stories on state legislators, you know, when a vote comes up in the House and it's time to vote, the legislators that are not present have someone else is voting for them, but not by like, hey, Mary Jo, I'm not going to be there today. Can you vote yes on this for me? Oh, okay, I got you. No, it's a race to that absent legislator's seat to push the button for his yes or no vote. And so you may have a Republican over here and a Democrat over here that are there, and the vote comes, and the two are competing to vote for the person who's absent.
Oh, my God.
It's on camera in three different state houses.
That makes me want to throw up.
It's so bad that Tennessee has developed little sticks that look like Yoda's cane to use to reach over and vote
for
somebody
God.
Else. Yeah. It's crazy.
And then what will happen is those legislators who are probably politicking for a higher office mm-hmm. and never there
yeah.
will turn around and say, I voted 98% of the time. I almost never missed a vote because yeah. other candidates will say, you're always out here yeah. campaigning. I never missed a vote. Now, I didn't always vote.
Right.
The way I would have voted, but somebody with a cane hit yes for me.
How would you defend?
Oh, my God.
You think some of them who get caught and said, he voted yes on this. Did we vote? We voted yes. He could just come out and go, actually, we have the video. I did not vote yes. This SOB over here reached over with his Yoda cane and voted yes for me. So it's his fault.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I had no idea that this
what
went on.
What are we doing?
Apparently, it's common knowledge. I don't know if it goes on in Kentucky or not, but I mean, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Like, what are you guys making a big deal out of? We do this all the time. Quit. And the whole reason I saw it is someone was making a point about voter ID. Like, you got to have an ID to vote. And the same politicians who were coming out and saying, what's wrong with making people go get an ID to vote? And then they come back after him and go, what's wrong with expecting the state legislator to be there and you not voting for him? But anyway, coming up in about 10 minutes, Kyle Tucker, he was down in College Station for that game yesterday. College game day. I mean, Texas A&M, you give them credit. They stepped up. They knew it was a big game, big deal. The crowd brought it.
Von Miller was there.
Yes. The players brought it. I mean, if you look at Texas A&M's team, there's no reason why they shouldn't be good. There's no reason why they shouldn't be a team that could advance to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, beyond, because they've got a really good point guard. Two nice players in Jalen Jones and Daniel House, and then Tyler Davis is a spectacular freshman. I mean, if not for like Jamal Murray and Ben Simmons, and Tyler Davis is probably, he'll be all freshman.
Yeah.
So Texas A&M has a nice team. But Kyle Tucker from the Courier-Journal, he was down there, and we'll talk with him about all of this, and maybe he knows more. About Derek Willis's situation. But, you know, Calipari didn't say much more than a pretty bad sprain. More on the officials, though. This was very interesting to me, Jerry Tipton's article in the Lexington Herald Leader. Which, again, I think every time I bring up Jerry Tipton's name, you have to remind you that he does not hate Kentucky. Like, he didn't go to Louisville and, you know, all that. So, and so sometimes when he writes something that is critical, folks will look at it and go, well, he hates Kentucky. Well, in this case, read what he said today, because he, if you didn't know who wrote it, you might think it leans to Kentucky's favor.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because he says he's comparing, he asked John Clockerty, the head of officials for the ACC for forever, you know, lifetime official, John Clockerty, asked him about technical fouls. And this has nothing to do with the Isaac Humphrey situation. This was clearly written before that. This was more based on the John Calipari toss. And he points out that Doug Sermons, Jerry Tipton does, Doug Sermons nearly leapt off the floor, did leave his feet to call the technical on Calipari. Like, why would he have to be so demonstrative? Why would he have to be so animated in calling a technical foul?
Other than to insert yourself as part of the game.
Drawing attention to yourself, yes. And so, Clockerty made the point that, or Jay Billis actually, made the point that the NBA and college are so different when it comes to the coach-official relationship. Like in the NBA, they talk, they get along a little bit better. It's just a different deal. And then in college, it's so much animosity toward one another.
It is.
And it's just a different relationship. Clockerty said he thinks it's because coaches and college programs are used to having so much control that when something's taken away and out of their control, it draws that kind of emotion. Whereas in the NBA, it's a player's game. The players control it, so it's not much as much emotion involved. But it is an interesting dynamic, the difference between college. It's the same game. It's basketball. But the way the officials and the coaches interact in college and the NBA, completely different.
It's even wildly thought of in the NBA as, well, he's earned, you know, LeBron, right. Kobe. He gets that call.
Right. Exactly.
It's not a uniform call. He gets that call. He doesn't.
Right. Kyle Tucker coming up next here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Bland food at your party? We've seen it all before. Catering so blah, it makes you weep like a small child. But at Zaxby's, our catering brings great service and flavor right to your door. We cater because we care. With Zaxby's, your monthly gathering turns into a magically flavorful party. Your failgate becomes a tailgate. And your corporate lunch lets its hair down. It's amazing what deliciously flavored chicken can do. That's why we're on a mission to create a world full of flavor, one event at a time.
Zaxby's Catering with five great locations, 1772 Sharkey Way, 531 New Circle Road, 435 Reading Road, 104 Sand Lake Drive, and 1133 Lexington Road in Georgetown. Zaxby's food is made fresh daily and uses Kentucky Proud products in all its salads. You're catering for 10 folks or 1,000 folks, Zaxby's can do it. Go to their website at zaxbys.com.
You're looking good today.
I'm feeling great.
New haircut?
Nope.
Outfit?
Wrong.
Mani-pedi?
Eh.
I give up. What's new?
I joined Suntan City.
Ah, your skin is gorgeous.
I owe it all to my personal Suntan City consultant.
They gave you a consultant?
Mm-hmm. And she worked up a tan plan for exactly the color I want.
Wow, must cost a fortune.
Guess again. At Suntan City, you pay one low price for expertise, top-notch equipment, and great member benefits.
Where do I sign up?
That's another plus. You can sign up, check in, even manage your account online. No other salon offers all that.
I'm convinced. Suntan City, I'll have what she's having.
Suntan City memberships start as low as $14.99 a month. For incredible year-round benefits, convenience, and expert tanning at one low price, visit Suntan City today. Find your nearest salon location at suntancity.com. Suntan City, let yourself shine.
Suntan City, let yourself shine. Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. WLHG Lexington. And LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Christine Lisi. The Warriors bounced back from their biggest loss of the season with a W. Klay Thompson scored 32 points, Steph Curry 23. Draymond Green chipped in with his NBA leading 11th triple-double of the season. Golden State shot 51%, beat the Clippers a fourth consecutive time, 115-112. At 49-5, Warriors have the best 54-game start in NBA history, one victory ahead of the 1995-96 Bulls. Led by Jabari Parker's 28 points, Bucks took care of the Hawks in double overtime, 117-109. Heat 114, Wizards 94. Miami leads Atlanta by a game for first in the Southeast Division. Cleveland's Iman Shumpert sprained shoulder, doubtful at Oklahoma City today. 2:30 Eastern ESPN Radio, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. Jaromír Jágr scored twice, passed Brett Hull for third on the NHL's all-time goals list with number 742. He and the Panthers defeated the Jets 3-1. Shane Gostisbehere scored the game winner in OT. First rookie in league history with four OT goals in a season. Flyers edged the Maple Leafs 5-4. College basketball. Second-ranked Kansas beat Kansas State 72-63. Jayhawks have a two-game lead in the Big 12 with tiebreakers over West Virginia and Oklahoma. LSU star Ben Simmons not in the starting lineup for the 81-65 loss to Tennessee because of academics. Still played 36 minutes, had 21 points, 9 boards, 8 turnovers. Tigers fell to one of the next four out in the latest bracketology from ESPN's Joe Lunardi. Chase Elliott is the pole sitter for the season-opening Daytona 500. Dale Earnhardt Jr., seeking his third Daytona 500 victory, starts third.
Wake up Monday with Mike and Mike. The NBA second half is underway. Chris Broussard joins the guys in studio, plus getting you set for the NFL scouting combine. It's Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
What's a giant fish doing in my backyard?
I brought a few treats for your pool, like pesticides, antifreeze, and some yummy motor oil. Because you dumped the stuff down the storm drain, I had to swim in it. Now it's your turn.
It's time we all did our part to stop polluting Kentucky's waterways. To find out how you can help, visit stormwater.ky.gov. Brought to you by the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
Brothers Auto Sales is Central Kentucky's number one dealer of pre-owned vehicles. At Brothers Auto Sales, you'll find the most complete selection of quality pre-owned cars and trucks available today. Every vehicle comes with a Carfax report documenting every aspect of the vehicle's history. Plus, we have an A-plus rating from the BBB. Brothers Auto Sales is open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for sales. Their top-notch service department is there Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5. Brothers Auto Sales, 285 East New Circle at the corner of Bryan Station Road or on the web at brothersautosales.com. No gimmicks, no games, no high pressure. Just the best prices on quality pre-owned vehicles in Central Kentucky, period. Brothers Auto Sales.
The following is an advertisement.
When we built ForThePeople.com, it was designed to be your consumer website, a place to go to learn about your legal rights. It was also built to protect you before an accident occurs. One of the most helpful parts of our site is warnings about unsafe drugs, products, and medical devices. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Right now, we're investigating, and in some cases, actually litigating cases involving some of these drugs you may be currently taking or have taken in the past, and likewise, certain medical devices. I invite you to visit ForThePeople.com now and from time to time to educate yourself and hopefully protect you and your family. This site was built for you, the consumer. And remember this, I'm not just a lawyer, I'm your lawyer. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Offices, Lexington. This message has been an advertisement.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Play the call, Josh. Play the call. Let's hear it again.
And that didn't seem unsporting to me, but you've got to play it out. There's the corner. House forces it up.
Follow, yes! Will it count?
It will.
They're going to check. The officials are trying to keep the floor clear to make sure the basket was scored before time expired.
It was out of Davis's hand, to my eye, before you saw the red light around the bucket.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And fitting if A&M is
it was
win,
plenty good. Kyle Davis putting it back for Texas A&M to beat Kentucky in overtime, 79-77. What is the third straight time Kentucky has gone to overtime with Texas A&M at Reed Arena in College Station? Kyle Tucker from the Courier-Journal was down there in College Station and joins us this morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning.
Describe to me just the reaction from Kentucky's side of things, who you were looking at, how you were kind of digesting the whole thing after Isaac Humphries spiked the ball.
Well, it was really a huge shock. I mean, I just don't, nobody in the arena really knew exactly what happened. I mean, you know, it just, it didn't really register at the game day guys, Reese Davis and Seth Greenberg and Jay Williams were sitting right behind me. You know, when they're not on set, they have some seats behind us and they were all just kind of baffled by it. I think Greenberg, he's tweeted about it, but he immediately said, you know, you can't call that there. And it's just, you know, I can't think of a time I've seen anything quite like that. It looks like the guy gets potentially the clinching rebound, gets fouled. He's going to go shoot free throws to increase the lead. He's mobbed by his teammates and celebrates. And then he essentially costs them the game with, I think, what was really just a reflexive move that he tried to take back almost immediately. He tried to say, hey, I didn't mean anything by it, and it was too late. And what a bizarre finish to a really great game. I mean, it was I think it was one of the more fun games of the year for Kentucky to watch. And I don't think this will hurt them really at all as a team, because they went on the road, and again in a really tough place, and were right there to win. Probably should have won, but you feel bad for Isaac Humphries, because he played the best game of his college career, and then has this thing that people are always going to remember, this sort of boneheaded play that I think in a lot of cases wouldn't have been called.
And really, his rebounding, you know, helped keep the Cats in the game at times. It was fitting, though. If you take that, you know, the technical foul and that play away, the game probably doesn't end the same way it does, but kind of fitting that it was on an offensive rebound. Can you talk about just they kind of got dominated on the offensive glass last night, and I guess that was because, you know, Marcus Lee can't stay out of foul trouble, and I don't know what the reason was.
Well, I mean, they miss Alex Poitras. You know, I don't think he's not a cure-all, but I think as well as they were playing for a while without him, as well as the backcourt was playing for a while without him, you know, the conversation was starting to creep into, you know, is this team better without him? No, it isn't. Nor was last year's team better without him. You know, there's a game, the one game they lost, they probably could have used him last year. And I think they miss him. I think, you know, again, as you say, the fact that Marcus Lee can't stay out of foul trouble, and that's often related to his positioning on rebound, is a problem. Derek Willis going out was obviously an issue, and so it was really down to Humphries and Scal, and Scal was the guy on that play who, you know, he's just not ready to make that kind of play. You know, it's still shocking to say that, you know, the 5-star, 6-foot-11 kid can't go get a rebound, but he can't, and you know, he was out of position there, and the guy who tipped it in just slipped right in behind him and had an easy lane to the basket. So, you know, their big, you know, weakness, I think, was exposed in a big way yesterday. And if it wasn't for Isaac Humphries, they would have really, truly gotten destroyed on the glass. He had 12 rebounds. Really, nobody else in the front court was contributing anything to that effort. And, yeah, as you say, I think it was pretty fitting way. If they were going to lose, a fitting way for them to lose was to get beat for an offensive rebound and a put back at the buzzer, because they were getting beat pretty much all day on the glass.
There is some good news and bad news out of this. We're talking to the Courier-Journal's Kyle Tucker from an airport somewhere between Texas and Lexington. And that Humphries did what he did, and that Alex Poitras would come back at some point, and the way Jamal Murray and Tyler Ulis are playing, this is a pretty good team. Marcus Lee, if he can give you what he's been able to here the last few games, but you have to have Derek Willis too. So it's kind of like Kentucky has to limp through this difficult end of the regular season schedule at Vanderbilt, at Florida, LSU coming in, Alabama has proven can knock off teams on the road. That game on Tuesday. But if this team is healthy, Poitras, Willis, everyone, and then you add Isaac Humphries being able to go get 12 rebounds, and the way Murray and Ulis are playing, it's a team that could be in the Final Four.
Yeah, you know, I think it remains a team that could lose early or go really deep, and we still don't know. And Willis getting hurt adds some more mystery to it, because it sounds like it was a pretty bad and looked like a pretty bad ankle sprain. So, you know, how long is he going to be out? We don't know. But Calipari has said, you know, he changed them. Once they got him in the starting lineup, it changed them. And it really makes a difference. I mean, the way they play, to have a 6'9 guy who can be a real, real threat on the perimeter. I mean, he's their best three-point shooter, 44%. I wouldn't have guessed I'd be saying that a month ago or a month and a half ago, but Derek Willis really does make them a lot better and a lot different. And there is no other guy. You know, they say next man up, but there's no other guy that's going to slide in there and be a 6'9" guy who can shoot threes on this roster. So until he comes back, I think there's a high possibility that they lose a couple more games at the end of regular season here. When does Poitras come back? I think he'll probably come back next weekend. This coming weekend is the probably what they're targeting for him, and you certainly don't want to rush him back. And then where's his head at? Is he going to be thinking about knees when he's in there and not playing as hard? Because I think I would be. He's a senior who blew his knee out last year and then has now hurt his other knee today, or this season, I mean. What's he going to give him when he comes back? We don't know that. So I think those are some pretty concerning unknowns for them. But as you mentioned, all the positives, Euless just couldn't be playing better right now. He made a few mistakes yesterday, but the play that'll be forgotten because of how it ended is the 5'9" Tyler Euless yeah. getting 3 feet off the floor to block a shot in the final minute and give him a chance.
It was amazing.
He really does everything.
Yeah.
And he never
sits. The floater was crazy, too.
He never sits. Yeah. Played all 45 minutes again last night.
Yeah, you know, you wonder come tournament time. I mean, he's really tough and seems inexhaustible, but you wonder if the mileage starts to add up when you're trying to go win six games in a row in 3 weeks. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Jay Billis last night said about Tyler Euless that he never sweats. And you notice that. Like, he's not pouring with sweat. He's just become so well-conditioned by playing this much. But I did notice about Jamal Murray. I thought he did get a little bit tired, and he was playing on adrenaline there towards the end. Did you get that sense from him?
Yeah, I think he was a little gassed, and I think they were trying to go to him. I think when you hit that early three in overtime, you know, Tyler Euless said, when he hits one, we know where that goes. So they tried to keep it going. I think – you know, he's a freshman kid who I don't think would have expected to play 40 plus minutes in many games. And so, yeah, I'm sure he was a little fatigued. I think that whole team was, and as Calipari said, you know, they were just doing everything they could, drawing up plays in the dirt. The whole goal was to, you know, get out of there, steal one. And they were right there to do it. And then all of a sudden, you know, craziness happens. And so, I think it's pretty disappointing. I think just like the Kansas game, just really disappointing. Those are two huge road wins. I mean, where would they be right now seed-wise if they finished both those games off? But I think they try to take all the positives they can from both of those. The fact that really hostile environments, really good teams that they're playing, and in both cases, you know, had the ball final possession with a chance to win.
And in both cases, shorthanded. In both of those games.
Exactly.
You know, didn't have the full complement of players, be it because of foul trouble or injury. Did you hear anything more about Derek Willis's ankle? When Cal says it's bad, you kind of feel like it must be really bad, or he would have said, we don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, no, I imagine it was pretty bad. And, you know, Derek Willis had said after his 25-point game against Tennessee that he had a couple bad ankles, and his knees were killing him, and his back was hurting him, and maybe that body just finally gave out on him a little bit. But the way it looked, and certainly Calipari's pretty bad analysis, I would guess it's going to keep him out a little while, especially if it's a high ankle sprain. Those are notorious for being sort of nagging, long-lasting issues, and so we'll have to see, I guess.
This loss is, I guess, heartbreaking as it was, the way it ended with Isaac Humphries and that. But you get the sense, though, that this team is still just fine. Like, there's a tight locker room. There's a relationship there. When you think about this Breakfast Club thing that's going on, and the way Isaac reacted to his teammates after spiking the ball, and then the way they're playing that this team will carry on just fine, won't miss a beat?
Yeah, no, I really don't. I think it's a sort of a net positive for them, as bad as everybody feels. I think, like I said, I think they all recognize that it was an impressive performance given all the circumstances, the injuries, the environment, the opponent, the fact that they were down 8 you know, midway through the second half. I don't think this really takes any wind out of their sails. It may ding their seeding a little bit because it would have been such a big win for the tournament resume, but they're still in first place in the SEC and going home now where they never lose. So I think there's a good opportunity to sort of get right back on track. I don't think this will shake them much at all.
Well, Kyle Tucker from the Courier-Journal joining us here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show. Safe travels back. I can tell you right now it's one of those days. I hope you don't have much to do. Just kind of chill on the couch because it's rainy and just gloomy and it's perfect for napping.
Can't wait to get back.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
See you guys.
Kyle Tucker from the Louisville Courier-Journal down in College Station last night for the game. And, you know, again, we don't want to bang on the refs, but it does seem universally that obviously all people on Kentucky's side of the fence didn't want that technical called.
Yeah.
But Kyle's saying, you know, the
Seth Greenberg and Jay
all the
Williams,
guys behind him who are, you know, and Jay Williams picked Texas A&M on college game day, you know, opened up his, mm-hmm. you know, he's got that, he opens up his shirt. That's how he reveals his pick for the game.
Yeah.
Who picked A&M. They're all in agreement that you swallow the whistle there.
Yeah. Jay Billis called it Little League. Seth Greenberg said there is precedent to swallow the whistle there. And Jay Williams. So, yeah, I mean, if you don't ask a single Kentucky fan, you just ask college basketball people, I think you get a majority.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. 381-1313 is the number to call in about 10 minutes. We're going to talk to Ellis Starr at Uber Capper. Who does a good job picking the races.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Risen Star Stakes was yesterday. Bit of an upset in that. And look ahead to the Derby Trail. Here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
608 to 9010-4.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It's the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event going on now at MLS Power Sports, and you have choices. Get a new 2015 Wildcat as low as $189 a month for 60 months, or receive a rebate up to $1,100 depending on model. Or how about a factory warranty for up to 4 years? The fun is up to you during the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Stop in today and don't miss the best deals on the entire lineup of Arctic Cats, ATVs, and side-by-sides.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seat. Belt on ROVs, approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a valid driver's license and all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Arctic Cat, share our passion.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough. Ride tough. MLS Power Sports. Got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman to save money.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It is quite bad, but it is good for you.
On with the show!
Because you love sports just as much as we do.
I do not disagree.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Landon Young, the future Kentucky Wildcat offensive lineman from Lafayette High School, just tweeted, 6 years I have been trying to do it, and I finally did. I am a state champ. The whole reason.
Look at the look on his face in that picture. Like, just.
Yes.
How.
I just retweeted it. Yeah.
Happy he is.
And, I mean, if you didn't hear this or didn't know before. Oh, by the way, Jeff Goodman is on breaking down the technical foul call against Humphreys on ESPN right now. Anyway, we know where he lands on that. There's another national analyst who came in on the side of Isaac Humphreys. But Landon Young has been injured the last couple years during wrestling season. So he couldn't compete for the state championship because of injuries. And while Cash Daniel and Drake Jackson, his buddies, went ahead and enrolled early at UK, he stayed back to finish his final semester at Lafayette High School in order to wrestle for a state championship. And so in the heavyweight division in the wrestling state finals yesterday at Alltech Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park, he finished 19-0 for his season, a perfect 19-0 on the mat, and wins the state title. And if you didn't see these pictures.
Oh, so sweet.
I tweeted him earlier. Scott Utterbeck from Courier-Journal took the shots. And Landon Young pins his guy, and then he goes and grabs a sign that he has already made that says, "Will you help me take down the prom?" And ask his sweetheart in the stands to go to prom. That's how he does it. Wins the state title, ask his sweetheart to go to prom, and then gets a smooch from her on the way out.
I mean, just how you draw it up.
Yeah.
Like, you can't draw it up any better than that.
It reminds me of the Boise State, Oklahoma Fiesta Bowl from years ago.
Oh,
when they
yes.
ran like the Statue of Liberty play and all that. And
Ian Johnson.
Yes. Uh-huh. And he proposes to the cheerleader who he's dating right there after winning the Fiesta Bowl. Hey, you can't get any better than that.
No. That was amazing. By the way, did you know who the honorary starter is for the Daytona today?
No.
Junior. Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And John Cena is driving the pace car, which is also
nice.
Amazing. How will he ever get in it?
Good. I don't know.
Or out of it.
I don't know. Well,
or maybe he'll just sit on top and wave or something.
Well, the pace car is a little different.
Yeah.
The pace car is not,
that's true.
Welded shut doors and stuff.
Because I don't think it'd work for John Cena.
I've been in one. I've driven one, and it is, and I'm a bigger dude, and it's not easy to squeeze in there. Like Tony Stewart, the reason he's retiring is because if he gets any bigger, it's over anyway. Well, he can't get in.
It looks like, I mean, the one thing that you would never say about Ken Griffey Jr. and the reason why he had was the most unanimous pick ever for the Baseball Hall of Fame is because he never was even questioned about steroids or anything until you see the picture of him today at the Daytona 500 where, he looks like that's all he's doing
I quit baseball. I'm gonna bulk up now.
I'm getting big.
It's cool. I can take steroids now. I'm done with baseball. I'm not playing it anymore. Well, they never questioned him because he was always, hurt. He never came back from those injuries. Like, Roger Clemens bounces back and has the best year of his life at age 55 after the worst injury ever. And that's what has people, throwing rocks at Peyton Manning about the stuff that was linked to him is that he had the neck surgery and comes back and does well. So, I don't know. We'll get off that and get back to talking UK basketball here before we get to Ellis Starr coming up in about 5 minutes to talk horse racing. But we have Steve on the line. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Dan. A couple things, one Kentucky and one Louisville. The sad part about, obviously, is the fact that probably only going to see Jamal Murray and Tyler Ulis twice more at Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Tyler, last night, of all the ways that I thought he could possibly win us a game, I never thought a block shot would be one of them. But Chisholm is just an incredible play. And then that floater he made in the lane there deep as the shot clock was going off was just an unbelievable shot and probably should have gotten a foul call on top of it.
He asked for it. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was brutal. It was a brutal way to lose. But I wanted to kind of switch gears. I assume you guys saw the story that came out last night. Can the dumpster fire get any
worse? Steve is talking about, I assume, about Charlie Strong, the former Louisville football coach who is now being subpoenaed in a divorce case of one of the U of L trustees because it looks like, according to the court documents, that Charlie had some sort of involvement with this man's wife, where he's asking for jewelry and clothes and stuff back, gifts that she had given him. They want his phone records, his travel records. So presumably, at least
they want to prove that Charlie Strong
had
an affair with a board of trustees member's wife.
Yeah,
that's
what you're talking about, Steve, right?
That's it. Yeah.
The good news is Charlie Strong is no longer there. That's the best part of it, I guess. But it is just one big orgy up there. they just throw down.
What about Mrs. Charlie Strong? Is she still in the picture, or is she?
I don't know.
As far as I know, and they've got two daughters together. As far as I know, I mean, it's one of those things where one of the biggest things about Charlie Strong that has been talked about since day one is integrity, integrity, integrity.
Morality.
I mean, that's what he has sold for the longest time.
But they sure do pay him a whole lot of money in Texas, which tells me that there's a pretty decent chance that Mrs. Strong still is in the picture. But now that this is out, who knows? Does she already know? I have no idea. She may have already known, may not have. But it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming out of Louisville. It just never stops. It's
you also know, now Texas is a job you probably don't turn down, regardless. You know, so it's not like he left Louisville to go to Tulsa or something like that.
Right.
So Texas is probably a job you don't turn down anyways, mm-hmm. and all that money and whatever. But you also never know if on the flip side it's like, stuff's about to go down here. They're about to find me out. Something's about to break. I'm going to skedaddle on down to Austin.
But here's the thing. If you want to get serious about it.
I'm going to take my new Mondava watch and all the clothes she gave me, and I'm going to head down to Austin.
Here's the troubling thing to me is these guys have to be role models. They're leaders of young men. And Rick Pitino's example that he's set through his actions. Bobby Petrino's example that he's set through his actions while at Arkansas. And the action of Tom Jurich to bring him back after the way he left Louisville and left Atlanta and how what he did in Arkansas. And now here is the coach that Bobby Petrino followed. The second time, anyway, Charlie Strong. And so you've got three leaders of your program at one point or another having had these issues. And, cheating on their wives, allegedly. That's, to me, it's just Louisville has such a large perception now. It's just hard to get past that without moving on. And then the President Ramsey stuff this week, too.
I know. Whew. Dumpster fire was a good word for it, Steve.
Yeah. Anything else, Steve?
No, that's it. You guys have a good day.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Steve. We'll get to a break, and when we come back, we will have Ellis Starr at Uber Capper. He is the national racing analyst for Equibase. We'll talk to him about yesterday's Risen Star Stakes won by Gunrunner. Steve Asmussen's Gunrunner won that one. And we'll talk to him about that as well as the Derby preps ahead on the road to the Kentucky Derby. Here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. They didn't get the message. Back to back like I'm on.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Catch the Dan and Mary Jo Show Saturday and Sunday, brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Welcome to Nick Ryan's, where sophisticated dining meets fun. We invite you to come and treat yourself to lunch or dinner in our beautiful Southern-style dining room. Come see us today. We're located at 157 Jefferson Street. Try our homemade soups, unique fresh salads, or a local favorite entree for a lunch to remember. For dinner, let Nick Ryan's exceed your expectations with house favorites like shrimp and grits, braised beef short ribs, or bourbon brine fried chicken. Come visit Nick Ryan's for their Saturday brunch and enjoy our Bloody Mary Bar from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Nick Ryan's also features slow-roasted prime rib every Wednesday night. Open Monday through Saturday at 157 Jefferson Street. For reservations, call 233-7900 or visit nickryans.com. That's 233-7900. Or make an easy online reservation at nickryans.com.
I'm a firefighter.
A teacher.
I'm a farmer.
I'm a barber.
A waitress. A mom.
We're all part of your community. Every day we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good.
Others not so much.
But that's life. It's when you experience a moment of uncertainty. Something or someone's behavior that doesn't seem quite right.
These are the moments to take a pause.
Because if something doesn't feel right, it's probably not. It's not about paranoia
or being afraid.
It's about standing up and protecting our communities.
One detail at a time.
Because a lot of little details can become a pattern.
We
trust our instincts.
Just like you should.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
I'm Julie Bowen, and I'm here to tell you it's impossible to beat cancer alone. That's why Stand Up to Cancer is asking for your help. It takes all of us to beat cancer. Join the movement now at standuptocancer.org.
Central Kentucky's sports leader, WLXG Lexington.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, yesterday the Risen Star Stakes at the fairgrounds in New Orleans, and it was the first race of the Derby preps that counted for 50 points. All the previous ones had been 10 points this year. And so this was the first big one. And usually the ones that come out of this really good look to the Louisiana Derby there at the fairgrounds later on. And Gunrunner, the winner in the Risen Star Stakes. And that was what we heard from the connections of that horse, that Louisiana Derby, that's where he was pointed next. A man who is the national racing analyst for Equibase and a Lexingtonian that we see around town here and there. Ellis Starr, you can find him at Uber Capper on Twitter. And he joins us now on the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Good morning, Ellis.
Good morning, Dan and Mary Jo.
So did you see Gunrunner coming yesterday?
You know, it's funny. The short answer is no. The longer answer is, you know, between doing a Weekend 6 preview show I do on another station on Sirius, and I do a video with Blood Horse Magazine. I listen to all my partners, 3-4 different people between them. And
I did watch that handicapping show, by the way, on bloodhorse.com, that handicapping show with Claire Novak and him and Tom Lomero. I did watch that, and unfortunately, yeah, I took a little bit of your advice.
The only good news, as a side note, is that the horse that I liked on top was a long shot.
Yeah.
At least he beat the 8-5 favorite, who beat one horse, Aeroforce. So
right.
That's good. But anyway, Tom liked Gunrunner, and I could see it. But it was a very, we call it a salty race. I mean, there was a lot of possibility in that race. And you know, there were issues. One of my long shots set the pace and actually, you know, caused Mo Tom, who ended up third, some trouble in the stretch. And
yeah,
he almost hit the rail, and people are going to be looking at him next time out, hopefully with a trouble-free trip. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't see him, but it's interesting. I try and look at it with an objective eye, which is tough because I'm betting as well. We'll see.
Now, does this spell the end for Aeroforce on the way to the Derby, do you think? Or was that just a bad trip?
Yeah, I haven't read stories yet. I wait until they come out, interview the trainer, and we'll see whether there was an issue. I mean, he'd been off 2.5 months. It was his first true clunker. It was also his first race on a conventional dirt fast track. When he won, the first few races were on turf, and then when he won the Kentucky Jockey Club in the fall at Churchill, that was on a sloppy track. So it could be that he is better on turf, because turf and sloppy is kind of related. When you get to fast, it's different. It certainly does show a chink in his armor. And, you know, this is what will happen. I mean, horses will be up, 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 and they'll drop by the wayside. You know, so it needs to happen as we go forward. Whether it's the end, I don't know, but it certainly doesn't look good. You know, to recoup from a finish as bad as that. I like horses that improve all during the spring. I think we talked about that last year. So this is kind of going back. This early in the year is okay, but it's not really what you want to see for a horse's first start of his three-year-old campaign.
Now, in the Risen Star, the two horses that finished behind Gunrunner and got a piece of it were both Uncle Mo's sons, and Uncle Mo had four runners in this race. But to me, one of the bigger, maybe as much of a surprise as Gunrunner was to some, is Forever Mo. That was the least of the four, maybe, that was expected to run as well as that horse did, and a little more distance, and Forever Mo maybe overtakes Gunrunner.
Yeah, I mean, they were certainly running in the stretch in a couple, and he came out of a decent race at the Fairgrounds, which ended up proving to be somewhat significant in terms of experience. Gunrunner had been working at the Fairgrounds quite extensively, and Forever Mo had run in the race. He was a horse that won a stakes race last October, so he wasn't ignored, but you know, based on the fact that it wasn't the stakes he'd come out of, he'd been ignored. And again, everybody was on Aeroforce. So when you get a heavier favorite, you're going to get long shot like that. You know, it's kind of just, I had this discussion on Twitter yesterday regarding the Son of Zenyatta that ran third at Santa Anita, which everybody was all aghast about how wonderful it was. He ran like his mommy, et cetera. And I was a Zenyatta fan. But, you know, fans have to remember, and I look at this from a handicapping perspective, that when horses come from way, way back, the longer they run doesn't mean they're going to get there. It could be they're just further back in a longer race and they still come up short. So
yeah.
I kind of take it with a grain of salt when horses come from way, way back. But I'm not taking away from Forever Mo and Mo Tom's races, and they both got some important points. That was the first race in the championship series, which is the 9 races that make up the last part of the road to the Kentucky Derby, with which horses earn points to decide who can run in the Derby or not. I should say 9, it's more than that. It's the first part of the 50 race.
Right, the 50 winner. Points, yeah.
And then you get the 100-point races, yes.
So next week, Ellis, we've got the Fountain of Youth Stakes, where Mohamed will be the prohibitive favorite in that one. Widely considered one of the, you know, probably the Derby favorite at this point, would you say? And what are you expecting to see from him next week?
Well, certainly he is. He's undefeated. He's 4-for-4, and the only other undefeated horse with a number of wins is Nyquist, the Breeders' Cup winner, who is going to skip the Fountain of Youth and come to Florida run in the Derby. Mohamed's very professional. He's very good. I can't knock him. He comes from Top Connections, good Alphen stable, who saddled Frosted last year to run, unfortunately, in the same year as American Pharoah. And Mohamed's a really good horse. I'm looking forward to him running forward. He has not shown any chinks, and he has a race this year, so that's out of the way. That's going to be a really good race. Again, coming up, there's a horse in California named Moore Spirit. As Nyquist is moving out east, Moore Spirit becomes the best horse in California. He's certainly good. You've got a top horse in New York named Sunny Ridge, who I was kind of impressed with. He won a race called the Withers. And then the horse coming out of Florida, they changed the points system this year a little bit. They took out the race called the Sam F. Davis at Tampa, but the Tampa Bay Derby is still going to be a 50-point preparation to the winner. And a horse named Destin, who's trained by Todd Fletcher, whose name we hear all the time,
yeah,
but we haven't heard too much this year on the Derby Trail. He's a good horse. So it's interesting. But I think, I mean, again, with the 3-0 crop the way it is, as you said, Mary Jo, one of the things we're going to see a lot of is shorter fields. The Risen Star might have been an exception. And so maybe, you know, 6 or 8 horses, no one wants to really take on Mohammed at this point, even though second is still worth 20 points, which at the end of the day, come time for the Derby draw at the end of April, first week in May, is going to be kind of significant.
We're talking with the national racing analyst for Equibase, Ellis Starr. You can find him on Twitter at UberCapper. And, of course, he's on BloodHorse.com and that handicapping show, which I recommend. That's something when it becomes Derby season, that's where I go. I go check them out and try to, because I try to narrow the horses down, especially 3-year-old races. I just love the Derby prep races because you never know because they haven't run enough to be so proven. So you could get good prices, which was the case yesterday. And so because I have so many to decide from and can't whittle it down on my own, you know, they're kind of the tiebreakers when I go to that handicapping show and just pick one of them and go, okay, I like his argument. And Bestrella was a nice argument.
You have my sympathy. Yeah, you have my sympathy. But, you know, there's two things. There's going for the best horse and always with every race, whether it's a cheap race or a stakes race, it's also going for the best price.
Yeah, well, and one of the questions I had was the Ramseys had Uncle Walter running in the Risen Star yesterday. Do they have anyone else in the barn on the Derby trail?
I can look really quick, and people that want to know, there is actually a KentuckyDerby.com has the list of the top points horses here.
Right.
And I'm quickly looking down the list to see if anything is Canon Sir Ramsey, at least right now at this point. And as of now, they don't have a horse in the top 40. That I can see, and I don't recall any.
Because to me, that's one of them that you would like to see win as someone who, if you live in Lexington, live around this area, and certainly in Louisville as well, just you've been so familiar with Ken and Sarah Ramsey. They have a farm in Jessamine County. And Ken Ramsey, just the kind of person he is and his personality, so good for the sport, just the way he's so welcoming to all the fans and the people. And he does so well at Keeneland and But there's a few other storylines here for the Derby as well. Go ahead.
Let me give you a second. You know, and Ken Sir Ramsey, of course, as you said, absolutely. But another owner with local connections and also that had a Derby winner is Team Valor International, which is based out of Lexington, and they have two that horses people can follow. Named Riker, who's coming, he's ready for his 2016 debut, and also a really interesting horse named Cassiopeia, who may take the exact same path that Animal Kingdom took when he won the Derby a few years back. Cassiopeia has been running on turf and on the all-weather surfaces, which we only have a couple left in the country, and he ran a good third in the race called the El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gates. We might see him in the Spiral, which this year is kind of interesting because it's on April 2nd. It's kind of all by itself with the Derby being a week later, the last possible date it could be, which is May 7th, April 2nd, the Spiral. So that's an interesting horse to look forward to. Also, if you want to root for local connections in case the Ramseys don't pull a rabbit out of the hat with a horse coming into the race soon.
And Riker won at Woodbine, the Gray Stakes, right?
That's correct.
Yes.
And the Gray Stakes was significant in history because one of the biggest long shots in Derby history, Mind That Bird, had won the Gray Stakes in his 2-year-old year, and then he went off for him, and that's why he was such a long shot coming into the Derby.
Now, Mary Jo, you mentioned Mohammed. The connection there, Kieran McLaughlin, the trainer from Lexington, went to high school here. He hasn't won a Derby, has he, as a trainer?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
The last few years, no. I mean, but he's one of the best guys in the country and a tremendous, wonderful man. I met him a number of times. And yeah, local guy, grew up, I think, in my Gardenside area. And you know, a lot of connections, and he trains for a lot of different owners, but mostly for a Sheikh Mohammed's Good Often stable, and
right.
You know, he's got a special horse. And Frosted, as I said, was a really good horse last year. Unfortunately, he was in the same crop as American Pharoah, so it was not the good time to be a 3-year-old.
Right, the horse of a generation. You know, you kind of run up against him. There was actually a few good 3-year-olds last year that but American Pharoah was just so superb.
By himself. Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there was, you know, Keen Ice ran big and posted the upset, you know, with his one shot in the fall and things like that. But You have that. I mean, you never know. You might. I mean, we still have two undefeated horses. And then I also want to mention the best three-year-old in the country who's not running the Derby, who you may or may not have heard of. I'm sure you saw her last fall in the Breeders' Cup. Her name is Songbird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to run in the Derby. But if you talk about the Kentucky Oaks, I mean, I was a little audacious, I guess, recently when I was on one of the shows I did, or I said, ladies and gentlemen, your Kentucky Oaks winner, Songbird. I made that announcement after she won her last race. Actually, I made that announcement after she won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year.
She destroyed the field. She was, I mean, just unbelievable in that race.
Right, and she's 5 for 5, but there's no way they're going to go. They've decided they might take on the boys later, a la Rachel Alexandra, mm-hmm. who passed the Derby and then won the Preakness and, you know, beat the boys twice in a three-year-old year, if I recall. And Songbird is that type of filly. And hats off to the owner. I got to say, people are saying she should run and prove it. And I don't think so, especially with the point scheme the way it is now that she has to run against the boys twice, once to earn points in a prep and then again in the Derby itself. And there's no reason to do that. But her folks are looking for a horse to get excited about the female version of American Pharoah. I know some people will hate me for saying that, but Songbird is. I mean, she unless something goes awry, she will be undefeated in her three-year-old year and undefeated horse, you know, when she wins the Oaks. And I don't know what they're going to do after that, but she's just tremendous. She won her last race a couple weeks ago just with authority.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Ellis. Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst for Equibase, joining us here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And enjoy the rest of the Derby prep season, and we sure would like to talk to you again down the road.
Yeah, we'll be touching base soon, Ellis.
No, my pleasure. And again, every week we do a major, I do analysis of a major stakes. This time of year, as long as I can, every Saturday, for every four of the Saturday race, it'll be a three-year-old prep. So just go to echobase.com, and it's free, and you can read my thoughts.
Absolutely. Will do. I recommend it. Thank you, Ellis.
Thank you, Ellis. That's echobase.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at UberCapper. So we appreciate the insight. We'll be leaning on him heavily over the next couple months as we get to the Kentucky Derby.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, you can give us a call if you want, 381-1313, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio, 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I've never seen a specimen like this before.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it.
Because you love sports just as much as we love sports.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's cold and you're bored. Don't let the long winter get you down.
Pick yourself up and get into Sky Zone Trampoline Park for a crazy good time. Bring some buddies, bring the family, and get after it. Book your tickets at skyzone.com/Lexington. It's locally owned and operated, and it's located at Boston Road and Man O' War. I take my kids in there all the time. It's the greatest. Sky Zone. It's awesome, healthy, fun.
Hi, this is John from Barkley Blevins' Colder Weather Plumbing Tips. Seal the air leaks around utility cut-throughs for pipes, gaps around chimneys, and unfinished spaces behind cupboards and closets. Turn down your water heater to 120 degrees. You'll save energy and avoid scalding your hands. Or if you have an older water heater, consider replacing it with a new energy-efficient model. Call Barkley Blevins, rated A+ by the BBB, at 859-252-3519.
Barkley Blevins offers financing on purchases of $700 or more. Call for details.
Hi, this is John from Barkley Blevins, the
Old Busters,
with some tips to help prepare you for the colder weather ahead. When you're home and awake, set your thermostat as low as is comfortable. When you're asleep or out of the house, consider installing a programmable thermostat. Replace your furnace filter once a month or as needed. Keeping your furnace clean, lubricated, and properly adjusted will reduce energy use, saving up to 5% of heating cost. Schedule service for your your heating system now. Call us at 859-252-3519.
Barclay Blevins offers financing on purchases of $700 or more. Call for details.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, I've been seeing a lot of this stuff going back and forth on Twitter about, Scal being chosen to shoot the free throws when Isaac Humphries got the technical and fouled out. And Jay Billis at that point explained it that Calipari was the one who got to choose. It was up to Calipari to choose. And then
he just tweeted that again and within even the last hour.
Yeah, because the referee, Billis said what he said immediately following the referee explaining to Billis how this was going to work. And then Billis said, he just told me, the ref did, don't get this confused with the injury rule. When an injury occurs to a player, the opposing coach gets to choose who shoots the free throws. Don't confuse that with this. This is the coach of the team with the player who's fouling out chooses who comes in to shoot the free throws. But then I see Mark Story and Kyle Tucker, even others who were there, saying that Billy Kennedy in his postgame press conference had a long explanation on how A&M came to choose Scal and then second-guessed it after LeBissiere hit his first free throw. But that makes no sense to me because
they're saying that it couldn't have been someone in the game. It had to be someone on the bench.
Right.
Because I even thought,
Briscoe.
Why would you not pick Briscoe if you're A&M?
So you had to choose someone not in the game, but then why wouldn't you just choose, like, Johnny David? You know, a walk-on. Or, of course, Ty Winyard hasn't played.
The scale is better from 8 feet than he is from 2 feet.
But Mark Story said Kennedy talked at length about choosing Scal. But the referee just explained to Billis, and immediately after you see the referee walk away from Billis, Billis says, Billy Kennedy doesn't get to choose because this is not an injury situation. So don't get that confused. Calipari chooses. So it's difficult to understand.
Which makes sense because, if you believe that someone who is a poor free throw shooter can fake being hurt for that set time, and then you say, okay, well,
like if Briscoe gets fouled late in the game and then he goes, oh, my arm.
Yeah, well, okay, well, we'll have Jamal Murray shoot these free throws instead.
Right, right.
So that makes sense that the opposing coach, in this situation.
But if you foul out.
It's, what are you going to do?
So there's some confusion there.
There's still confusion today on it.
Yeah.
Like right now, within the last 15 minutes of who's saying who picked Scal.
I wish we'd have thought of it or seen it, brought it up to Kyle, because Kyle Tucker was there and listened to Billy Kennedy. And so I don't know. I don't know what actually happened there. But I didn't think Scal was such a bad choice.
I was okay with it.
I mean, he's a freshman, but I guess they're thinking mentally just the way he hasn't developed, maybe and that has trouble rebounding, that it's a mental thing, and because it's a mental thing, that would be good for this situation for Texas A&M. But I thought, it's a free throw, Scal. Even though he's a freshman, he's got a good little shot from that range. So
I kind of knew whoever it was going to make the first and miss the second, because that's the mental thing I think that plays. It's like they think, I've got to make one. We will lose for sure if I don't make one.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that's still going on right now.
Hey, I wanted to throw this out there. Kyle Wilcher, he could still be on this basketball team, by the way. He's a senior at Gonzaga. Gonzaga lost last night on senior night, at the Kennel to St. Mary's, and has been swept by St. Mary's for the first time in 21 years, and now Gonzaga may have to win the conference tournament
to get into the NCAA.
Yeah, and keep their streak alive. They've been 17 years in a row to the NCAA tournament. And I say all that to say HBO has a special called March Madness Gonzaga. They're following Gonzaga, and it started last weekend. So this weekend would be the second episode. And Kyle Wilcher is front and center. I mean, they went to his parents' house, and his mother said something like, yeah, he wanted to go to Kentucky to win a national championship, and he did, but Kentucky is so focused on one-and-dones that he wanted to go somewhere where he could develop. That was basically her thing, where he could develop his game, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
But how big would Kyle Wilcher be on this team now?
I know.
2013.
Then it would be the best three-point shooting team ever. Yeah.
But of course, should mention this. He had to sit out a year, so he would have graduated last year.
That's true.
He would have been on last year. He wouldn't be on this year's team. So it's all for naught. But good luck to Kyle Wilcher, and I'm just saying that.
And I do think his game has developed, but there's something that's gone on at Gonzaga this year that's – because they were a preseason top 15 team, weren't they?
Yeah, they lost, they lost their main big guy inside, Karnowski. But still, they've still got good enough players that I would think they would be better. I don't.
And I would think their schedule is not the same as an ACC, Big 12 type schedule.
Definitely not.
That they should still have better talent than their opponents most nights.
Yeah. All right, we'll do it again next weekend. Remember the Daytona 500 on one of the LM stations, either 92.1 or 96.1. Which one is it? It's on Hank, 96.1. Daytona 500 today. I'll be watching on TV. You can listen on the radio if you can't watch on TV here at LMM Communications, 96.1. But we'll be back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 next week with the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.